Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Christ in Me with Addie, where we seek to live out a John 3:30 life. John 3:30 says, "He must become greater and greater and I less and less." Let's be real, in today's world, it can seem impossible to live out what the Bible calls us to do. Not only can it be hard to understand sometimes, but finding the time to read the Bible, to understand the Bible, to know the Bible, it can just be overwhelming. So I created this podcast so we could walk alongside each other, share some of our stories and struggles, but also where the Lord is bringing us, so that we can encourage one another and stay rooted in His Word. It's my prayer that you walk away from each episode saying, "I know that that is Christ in me. I know Christ in me." So let's get into today's topic. Hey guys, welcome back to Christ in Me with Addie. I'm so excited for today's episode because I have one of my friends. I know we're going to laugh.
Oh, best friends.
Oh, okay. One of my bestest friends. I know we're going to laugh through this.
Like, I know. It's going to take a lot for me to just keep a straight
face. It's going to be hard to get through this. But Nikita and I, we have a really cool friendship, a really cool story. And honestly, we're just texting this week and we're like, it's about time we probably share like what God has done in our lives through our friendship. And so this is my friend Nikita, everybody. Say hey, Nak.
Hi.
She likes to go by Nikki.
I don't. And also if she calls me Nak, it's just the name that my college friends gave me.
Yeah.
No, it was a girl in like high school and for some reason it just stuck. So
I like Nak. Nacky.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my dog's name is Mac. So I feel like Nak and Mac, they're just like my two sidekicks in life. So this is my friend Nikita, everybody. And I wanted to bring her on the show today to talk about how to talk about Jesus and not make it weird. And so we're going to kind of talk about how our friendship blossomed, but also how like Jesus became such like the center of our friendship. And it really took us both by surprise. Like I was not expecting it at all. So before we jump into all that, I just want you to introduce yourself and kind of talk about who you are, what you do, as much as you want to share, so people can't find you and like creep on you. So maybe don't say like the corporation you work for or anything, but tell us about you and your background.
Okay. Well, first I want to say thanks for having me on your podcast. I definitely probably wouldn't do this if it wasn't with Addie, because I'm generally a pretty private person, but when she asked me, I was like, I don't know. It was something that felt right, and I haven't really ever shared my testimony publicly, so it's definitely a huge step of faith.
I'm so proud of you. All right, we're also not going to cry through this. I know. So keep it together.
You did say you were going to cry, so
I'm not going to cry.
It could happen. Okay. Introduction. Here we go. We're going to stay focused here. My name is Nikita. I am 20 years old. I've lived in Columbus since like 2019, and just a couple years after that is when I met Addie. Prior to living in Columbus, I feel like I lived all over on this globe. growing up, like my family and I, we moved around a lot. And so that I feel like gave me a lot of exposure in life to various cultures and various different types of people and different ways of living. I don't know. I didn't ever really feel like I met a ton of people that had the same lifestyle as me, and not in like a braggadocious way, but it was definitely hard to like feel super connected to communities when we had moved places. But it also gave me a really unique way of looking at life. I guess in the grand scheme of things, I'm grateful that it all happened that way. I come from an Indian family. They're first-generation immigrants, my mom and dad. And so that's been a huge part of my testimony as well.
Yeah, which I really loved bonding with you over your culture, because being like a country girl from the middle of nowhere, God putting me with an Indian best friend, like I had a lot to learn. it's just been fun like learning about your life and your parents' lives, and just also how it's been interesting to see how your parents, you know, you mentioned are straight out of India, and then you're kind of first generation here in the U.S. So kind of being this, like, middle person of, like, I still feel ties to the country that I'm from, but I'm also mm-hmm. technically American. Like, mm-hmm. it's just been cool to witness that blended culture through you.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think have been some hardships, especially in, like, coming to the faith with that sort of blended perspective?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say, so just to give some background, my parents and my entire family, really, we were all born into Hinduism, mm-hmm. and that's the number one religion in India. And so that is been challenging, I guess, because the culture of being a Hindu is very intertwined with being Indian.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very similar to being Jewish.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard to kind of navigate just being Indian, mm-hmm. but not being a Hindu, because that's all I've known, like, since I was born, basically. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's probably the biggest challenge. And it's, yeah, like, I'm the only person in my family that's not currently a practicing Hindu.
So, Nikita, I want to talk about how we met and, like, what that was like. And what I love about our friendship is I was very new to being a Christian when mm-hmm. I first met you. And I didn't have, like, the call on my life yet to share Jesus with others. Mm-hmm. And honestly, meeting you and you being so vastly different in, like, culture and background from me, I didn't want to offend you by, like, talking about Jesus to you. Just because mm-hmm. I was early Christian, like, didn't want you to feel like I was, like, pushing that on you or anything like that. So I want to talk about when we first met, and I can recall it very vividly in my mind. But I want to see how you remember it, the first time we met.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Technically, I would say, so we both lived in the same apartment building. Mm-hmm. I lived on the ground floor, like, right by our little courtyard. And I remember you had just gotten Mac.
Yeah, I just, like, got my dog.
Was it two or three days ago or
yeah.
something?
Yeah.
And I was with one of my best friends, and she walked by with her little puppy. I think I said something like, is that a wolf puppy?
Yeah, you literally said, oh my gosh, look at that wolf baby. And I turned around and was like, who just said that?
And of course, I can't resist petting a cute animal. So I was like, think I just was like, can I pet your dog or whatever?
Yep.
And then I don't know why, but my friend that was with me, she was like, oh, we should have, like, a dog date mm-hmm. sometime. And I was like, you don't even live here. I'm like, stop trying to make friends in my building. And then I don't know how it happened from there, but basically we hung out and
I just remembered something really cool though.
What?
So, not to cut you off, but I remember there was this really cool waterfall by where we lived. Like, there was a walking trail, and you had been there before and I really wanted to see it. And so I was like, you want to go right now?
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah. And I was like, okay, let's go. And so, you know, you just took me off into the woods and I trusted that you weren't going to kill me.
I love that.
Or drown me in the waterfall. But it was actually Easter that day. Do you remember that?
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that.
The reason I remember is because we were, like, at the waterfall and I was like, oh, like, happy Easter, by the way. You were like, oh, I don't really celebrate Easter, but thank you. And then your second question was, so you're practicing?
Oh, my God.
And I remember, I still give you crap about that to this day. But
I don't remember saying that, to be fair.
She's like, you're practicing?
I was like, practicing a practicing what? Like, I meant like a practicing Christian, I think.
Yeah.
If I did say that.
So funny. So yeah. That was like the first time I mentioned to you, though, that I was a believer. And I just remember going home and being like, idiot, because, like, I should have known not everybody celebrates Easter, you know what I mean?
But I went home and I was like, I made a friend and I got to show her my waterfall.
And I think I texted you later that day and I was like, I hope I didn't offend you because, like,
no,
you don't celebrate Easter. No. So anyways, here we are now, what, like,
yes,
4 years later, and we've celebrated how many Easters together in Jesus' name, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I think that was the first time we hung out, but then we basically hung out a ton after that because, like I said, she was my neighbor. And, yeah, I feel like that was, like, just the start of us getting to know each other as people and, like, learning our stories. And
mm-hmm.
I feel like you opened up really quickly to me, and I was, like,
I'm a classic oversharer.
No, not
if
like
you guys couldn't tell from the podcast.
But I just remember being so taken back, like in a good way, that I was like, wow, she's so open and vulnerable about her life. Like, maybe I should be like that. And I remember like talking to my therapist and I was like, yeah, I made a new friend. And she's like, so are you opening up? And I was like, no, not at all. So I feel like, I don't know, you just sharing your story and like me getting to learn more about you, it encouraged me in many ways as well. Yeah. So,
yeah. And I remember too, like, we started hanging out like every day, and it was great because we were both in like our season of singleness, or however, you know, Christian state, but we were both just single and like looking for friendship, looking for something like deeper than just a friend. I feel like you were in this season of life where you were starting to assess, like, who are the friends that just want to go out to, like, the bars with me? And who are the friends that, like, genuinely want to know me and, like, the ins and outs of my life, what I'm struggling with, what I'm celebrating right now? And so I think we were both looking for that kind of friend at the same time. And then God, like, put us in each other's lives. So that was really cool. But we would, like, cook dinner together every night. And it was basically, like, it was the best situation ever because we lived at the same place but had two separate apartments. So, like, when we got tired of each other, we could just retreat
to our own back to our private room. Spaces.
That's right. But we did, like, everything together, and it was just so great, like, building a friendship but building that trust and then seeing how God, like, used that to then introduce, like, the faith aspect. Because, again, I was very, very new in my faith, and I was worried to, like, push it on you. I didn't want you to ever feel that way. And so I remember you came to church once because I was singing or leading worship, but I can't remember if you came to church once before or after you came to Bible study once. Can you remember?
I think so. When we first kind of started hanging out, I remember you mentioned that you were a worship leader at your church. And so I think the first time I came was just kind of to support you because I don't think I was going to church like really at all actively at that point. So I was like, yeah, like, I'll come see you sing. Like, you know, it's no big deal. I have nothing to do today. And that's kind of how it started. And then with moving into Bible study, I remember, like, you and the girls, they would meet every Tuesday. And it was usually, like, in our courtyard because it was in the summertime. Or at your apartment, and you guys would always, like, walk by my little window, and you just had, like, celery and carrots and, like, juice, I don't know, like, snacks, and then you just go walk off and do Bible study in the courtyard, and I was always like, what are they up to? Like, what are they doing? Or, like, there's like, a coffee machine in our clubhouse, and so sometimes I would just go in there when they were doing Bible study, just, like, eavesdrop and, like, hear what they had to say.
That is so funny.
Just out of curiosity. So I think that was my memory of it.
Were you, like, suspicious of us all walking around with our Bibles? You're like, there's those Christian girls again.
No, I think it was more like a innocent curiosity. I was like, what are they talking about? Because on Tuesdays at that time, I was going to Yogi's.
Oh, yeah. That's a bar, by the way.
So she was going to Bible study and I was going to Yogi's.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, it was two very different lives at that point. So I think I was like, what are they up to? I'm just curious. So
wow. I remember the first time I invited you to Bible study, you were kind of hesitant because you were like, I kind of have this long-standing, like, Tuesday Yogis thing that I do. And I was like, oh, like, that's fun. And the one time that you were like, okay, I think I want to come, I remember you asking, you're like, so do you guys, like, read the Bible, though?
You idiot. That's why it's called Bible study.
You literally said, you were like, yeah, I think I want to come, but do you guys, like, do you read the Bible? And I remember answering, like, you know.
Sometimes.
Once every month. Like, a little, but you don't have to know it all to come. Like, that's why we meet. So,
yeah.
You finally came. And
well, I realized, I was thinking about it on the way here, because I was like, I wonder what was the moment where I was like, okay, maybe I'll try it out. And I remember I was going to art school at the time, and I was doing a report, I think, on Michelangelo. And he's one of my favorite artists. And so I was writing about the creation. It's called The Creation of Adam. And I was writing a report on that piece. And so I was trying to like, well, no, the English teacher was like, I would really recommend that you read Genesis to get background on the art. And at that point, I had not read like a word in the Bible. I had never even picked up a Bible except for like going to a hotel and it being in like the little cabinets. And so that was when I was like, hey, Addie, like I kind of have to learn something for this report. Like, do you mind if I come to like Bible study like once or twice just to get some background info?
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Was your English teacher Christian? Do you know?
No. No, I don't think so.
That's crazy how like God possibly even like used that person though to like plant that seed in your head to like get you there because.
Yeah. Oh, wait. It wasn't even an English teacher. She was like a helper in the writing center. And so she was like the one that told me that.
That's cool. And I also appreciate, like, even if you are someone who doesn't have, like, a faith background or even faith itself, like, being investigative of the faith side of things, but also the more, like, practical side of things.
Yeah.
I feel like we have to do that no matter what to have, like, a really well-rounded understanding for things. But that's really cool that they, like, pushed you in that way and then that led to, like, great faith for you. So I want to talk about when you actually started to believe in Jesus. And I know the TV show, The Chosen, had a huge, like a place in your heart when it came to learning about Jesus and stuff, which I know is controversial because some people like love The Chosen and some Christians are like, this is not it. I personally really love it. And I think it's helped my faith a lot, but I do understand that it's like a lot of artistic interpretation and they've taken some more like cinematic liberties. But how did The Chosen, like, help you fall in love with Jesus as you were reading the Word as well?
Well, I remember you introduced me to it very early on. So I think it was maybe a month into me going to Bible study that you told me about it. Or I think we might have watched one or two episodes. And I was really instantly hooked because I, as an artist, I'm definitely a visual learner. And so, not that words don't have as much power, but being able to see this person portrayed as Jesus and being able to like see his character shine through this actor, it, and just seeing like the really powerful moments that are in scripture, being visualized in like a film. That was really powerful for me. Like even just, I think it's in the first episode when Jesus basically puts his hand on Mary's and like, he's like, that's not for you. And he saves her. And that was such a huge moment.
Spoiler alert to anyone who hasn't watched The Chosen.
But yeah, just seeing moments like that, I think were really touching and like sparked something in my heart. So
do you feel like it helped you like understand the Word better? And now that you've been a, you know, a Christian for a couple of years, which is so cool to say.
I know, it's so crazy to hear you say that.
I know. It's crazy for me too, because I feel like we started our journey like kind of at the same time in a way. But do you think that that helped you better understand the Word? Like, do you feel like you can recognize things in The Chosen that maybe don't quite align with the Word, that are maybe just like artistic liberty, or like, how has that helped you in your reading time of God's Word?
I would say it's definitely like when I read or when I watch some of the episodes, it makes me eager to want to go back into scripture and like read and get better context and better understanding for a scene or just even like a parable that Jesus would share. I don't think I've like versed in the Bible enough to be able to say whether something is fully accurate, because I haven't, I'm still like very early on into my reading and understanding of the Bible. So yeah, I don't think I can say that for sure.
You're so like humble and modest, because honestly, I think you know way more than you think you do. But yeah, we're always students of the Word. Like I don't think that ever stops, but kind of same. There's been nothing in The Chosen not because I don't feel necessarily like I don't know enough, but I've learned stuff from The Chosen where they've been, like, really specific about something. And then when I read it in the Bible, I'm like, that was there. Like, literally, you know, but I haven't seen anything that I'm like, oh, red flag. This shouldn't be a show. Like, this shouldn't be a thing. I don't think they're misrepresenting by any means. But
yeah,
I like how they're, without any spoiler alerts, I've seen season 4 up to episode 1 through 3. And I know you've seen, like, all of season 4 so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No spoiler alerts here if you haven't seen it yet. But I like how they're showing, again, they took the cinematic approach. But I like how they're showing some storylines that potentially could have happened that are, like, relating to modern day issues that we face now and, like, struggles that we face now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really helps me put my place into, like, Jesus's story and just think, like, well, what would he say to me with what I'm struggling with right now?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, it's really helped me. So if you haven't watched The Chosen, I highly recommend it. And every time I see it, I'm just so thankful that it had such an impact on your life that, like, now you know Jesus. And the other thing that's really cool about that is I was so worried to, like, offend you with I knew you were Hindu, so I didn't want to, like, push Jesus on you in any way, like I said. And I didn't have to do anything like that. Like, I just had to keep loving Jesus, and, like, you fell in love with him, too, in the process. And that's just so wild to me that, you know, in my greatest worry, I didn't think about the opposite. Like, well, what if? You know what I mean?
Well, I think that was such a testament, too, to just you being a really great friend, because I haven't I haven't really
I'm not crying
I don't know, I guess I never thankfully had any friends that, like, ever pushed religion on me. Like, even in college, like, some of my best friends, they were believers, still are, but the approach I feel like that you even took was just, I am a believer, I love Jesus. I'm going to live my life to honor him and glorify him and just let the light from that shine and not, you know, be, like, super condemning in any way. Not like you're not calling me out for going to Yogi's every Tuesday.
I said, you drunkard, get to church.
You need Jesus, girl. But I always appreciated that because you always were really had a lot of grace, I think. Yeah. In just being a friend.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that, you know, we could all do better.
Yeah.
And so I think that was what just, I don't know, like, put a lot of trust in you, but also, like, it allowed me to feel like I could, like, bring some walls down.
Yeah.
So
how else do you think, like, we together as friends, because again, like, I was still growing in my faith. Mm-hmm. And when I keep referencing this was like 4 years ago, guys. So we've come a long way.
Yeah.
But how do you think we were able to talk about Jesus and, like, not make it weird, especially for someone who didn't have much, like, faith influence growing up? I know that your mom put you in a Christian school when you were young. And then you went to a Christian college as well.
Jesuit school. Yeah.
So how do you think we were able to, like, bridge that gap of, like, talking about Jesus but not making it weird?
Well, I think, so looking back to when we first met, you had a lot more knowledge, I would say, when it came to just a biblical background of, you know, what even certain terms meant. And I came into it not knowing really anything. And so I think it's important to think about that when you're interacting with people. Some people might have never heard a single word from the Bible. And so you can't just go into it, like, full force. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to just, I think, be louder in your actions than your words sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that God has really placed on my heart, especially with my faith journey recently, because I have friends that are believers and I have friends that are atheists and I have, you know, friends of different religions, and it's definitely, it's a really difficult space to navigate. And I know you had many experiences yourself where, you know, it's either gone a really good way or a really bad way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think just, like, embodying as many qualities of Jesus that you can in how you interact with people is a really powerful thing that doesn't go unnoticed.
Yeah.
So.
And I think, you know, I heard a pastor say once that there's tension between grace and truth, and there always mm-hmm. will be. And, like, you can't have truth without grace, and you can't have grace without truth. And so I think a lot of times as Christians, we jump the gun, and I've 100% been guilty of this at times. Like, mm-hmm. I just feel this, like, cry on my heart for this person. Like, no, like, if you just do it this way, like, God's way, things will start to change. Like, your situation will get easier. And, you know, I've definitely jumped the gun before and been like, here's what God's word says. And, like, this is what we got to do. And it was not received well.
Yeah.
And so what I love about our friendship is there's been bumps. Absolutely. Like, there's been times where, you know, we absolutely did not agree on something, and mm-hmm. it, like, we had to work through that. But, like, I know God is in our friendship, because most modern day friendships would have canceled each other by now.
Oh, like, yeah. That would have been the end of the friendship for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. But he just constantly, like, softened both of our hearts. And now, like, you were the flower girl in my wedding. Mac and Nikita. True. I'm going to throw up a picture for those watching on YouTube.
Not necessary.
Mac and Nikita were the flower girls in our wedding. And it was just so special to me. Like, just, you know, and not everybody who's your friend has to be Christian. Of course, that's what we want, because we know what it means. We know that it brings eternal life and so much peace and comfort and all these just, like, wonderful things. But not everyone wants to be. And that's mm-hmm. a hard, hard pill to swallow. But I'm so thankful that that's something that we get to found, like, our relationship on.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I will say that's a really good point, because you kind of have to gauge, like, someone's openness, I would say, mm-hmm. when you're talking to them. And I've done that too, where I've been like, I just want to, mm-hmm. not even in like a, all with good intent, basically, where it's like, whatever I'm feeling inside, like, I want to share that with you. And I want you to feel that, because mm-hmm. I can see that you're in a really bad space and, like, you need upliftment, and I want you to feel that.
Yeah.
So I know that a lot of times when we are sharing Jesus or sharing any part of our faith, it's in good intent. Mm-hmm. But it's not everybody is even in that space where they're willing to hear and receive what you have to say. So,
right.
That can be tough.
Yeah. There's a verse in, I think it's in Mark, and I should have looked it up, but I'm almost positive it's in Mark, where Jesus talks about not giving your pearls to pigs. Mm-hmm. And to people who are unbelievers, this verse probably sounds really offensive, because we're not trying to call anyone a pig or, like, nothing like that. But he's just trying to paint a picture metaphorically here of how your faith and, like, the Jesus seed in you is a pearl. Like, it's a beautiful, valuable pearl that you mm-hmm. have to give and plant in others. But if you give a pearl to a pig, like, they're not going to see the value in a pearl. They're mm-hmm. probably going to chew it up, spit it out, you know, roll in the mud on it, and, like, taint that pearl, basically. Like, they mm-hmm. won't see the value. And so I think really what he was saying there is assess who you're giving your value to and whether or not they will receive that value equally. And so mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we allow our impatience for where we think someone else should be in the faith manifest as, like, frustration. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I had to really, like, check myself on as we got closer as friends, because I grew deeper in my faith, you grew deeper in your faith, mm-hmm. and sometimes we weren't always, like, on the same wavelength about things, and we just had to pray about it, remember how much we love each other, and then, like, reconvene the next day. So
that's definitely been so encouraging, though, in our friendship, because you kind of mentioned it earlier, but we could have had one fight and decided, mm-hmm. like, I hate you, like, I'm never talking to you again. But that didn't happen. And honestly, looking back on my life, like, I noticed that I had so many friendships where I was really close with someone, and then something would happen and it caused this riff and we would never talk again.
Yeah.
And I kind of just, I think, internalized that that was just a pattern. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, we first, like, started to have, like, I don't know, like, disagreements and stuff, I was like, oh gosh, it's the end. Like, I might as well just, you know, put all my walls back up and, like, you know, go find a new friend or whatever. Yeah. But I'm just so happy that that wasn't the case and God really was in the middle of our friendship and still is. So
yeah, I mean, we've made each other laugh, we've made each other cry, and yeah. I'm just
is that a tear?
No, I'm so grateful God brought us back every time. So
me too. Yeah.
And we're making it sound like we have all these issues right now.
No.
This is just normal friendship. Like yeah. we fought for each other, and we remembered that like God is more important. So.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for that. But so with your, where you're at right now in your faith, I want to keep talking about like how you've grown and like where you are now. Where are you at in your faith and like how has, you know, moving from Hinduism and now into being a Jesus follower, like how has that shifted your life?
Oof, that's a big question.
Hefty.
I mean, how hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. That's good.
It's, yeah, I feel like my life looks so different. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, I wake up and I'm like, what the heck? How did this happen? Mm-hmm. Or like I'm at church and I just have to like kind of, it's like an out of body experience, honestly. I mean, it changes every part of your life. And I think it's supposed to, if you just allow Jesus to. Mm-hmm. I was like listening to this podcast recently and it basically was saying like, if you want to live a really rich faith life, then you have to let Jesus bring you to the end of yourself.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. And that really spoke to me because I was like thinking about, you know, the different times in the last few years where I felt challenged in my faith and I just wanted to stop there because I was like, this is uncomfortable. I don't like how this feels. I want to feel like good about myself and what I'm doing. But there was always a lesson and growth that came from that, that was always really valuable. And so I think the more that I'm learning, if I lean into that and I just trust that no matter what difficulty I'm facing in this present moment, because, you know, we're always going to be facing something, no matter how deep in your faith you are, just I think having that overwhelming peace that Jesus is with you and God and he's guiding you. And I think that changes everything, like every single part of your life from the second you wake up to all of your relationships, your job, to your family life. And I'm saying this because this is something that I've experienced, which is really even crazy to say that. So
yeah,
your style.
Yeah, your style.
Your style proof.
Oh gosh, you're so funny. So what did it look like for you to tell the people in your life, if you want to share, that you now like walk with Jesus?
So I would say with friends, it's been mostly received well, I would say. It's been challenging with other friends and I kind of knew that that would happen. You know, I still like love and care for every single person that I've ever, you know, been a friend to, or been in relationship with. So I genuinely don't carry any kind of like hate or, I don't know, bad feelings towards people, even if we're not friends anymore because I'm a believer. But I would say the more challenging part is, kind of navigating what that looks like with, like family members that are Hindus, because my entire family is. And they, you know, I don't want to put them down in any way because I have amazing family and I'm blessed to say that. But it's, I think the challenging part about moving from Hinduism to Christianity is Hinduism is so deeply intertwined with the Indian culture. And coming from a first generation immigrant family, you know, your culture and your heritage is so such a big part of your family life. So that is something that I think is really difficult because growing up, that was like our everyday. Like I didn't have really much influence on with American culture until I moved out on my own. So everything I knew was mostly from them and all the experiences that we had as a family. So I never want to discount that, and I never, like, I'm grateful for all of it. I still am. But, yeah, it's tough, and it's something that I have to just really walk with every day and take it day by day, so.
Yeah. And I think you're being really honoring to your parents. Like, the Bible tells us to honor our parents. And there's a way to talk about something dishonorably. And there's a way to talk about something just in full, again, like grace and truth. And I think you're still honoring your family very well while expressing maybe your disappointment with, you know, them not being like, yay, Jesus, you know?
Yeah, and, like, of course they're probably not going to do that because, I mean, they introduced me. I mean, you're basically born into Hinduism, so it's not really like you're like, oh, here, you get to choose what you believe. And not that they, like, forced me to do anything out of my will, but, yeah, they taught me, like, everything from, like, a lot of the Indian holy scriptures to just, you know, like, how to live your life as a person that believes in God and, like, how to be kind to others. So yeah. I just try to be really intentional in how I talk about it because I don't want to ever make it seem like I'm not grateful for that. Right. So
here's a question that I don't think I've ever asked you before.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
It's a big one. And okay. You might not know the answer.
Okay.
But what encounter with Jesus, like, convinced you that he was the way and not Hinduism? Or, like, what, you know, because that is such a huge deal. You know, you've shared with me recently that you want to be baptized and that, you know, they're not super excited about that. So,
yeah,
like, what convinced you about Jesus that this was worth potentially upsetting, like, your family over?
Like, are you talking about, like, a specific prayer that I prayed out?
Or, like, I guess I asked somebody this before in the podcast, but I asked them, like, how is Jesus enough to convince you of him over Hinduism? Like, how did you know that he was the way? Or how did he meet you that you knew?
I would say, like, there's just been so many little pieces that have come together, not just as of recently, but, like, throughout my whole life. Starting from when I was in preschool, going to the little Christian preschool that I went to.
Oh, you should send me that picture so I can throw it up. There's bowl Nikita cut. With her arms up, little Indian girl with a bowl cut in Christian school. It's pretty cute.
And it said, all glory to God, in, like, little cutout letters.
But it's cool to look back on that, because even you've said, like, he was there even when he wasn't, like, there in your mind. Like, he was still there in your life, so...
Cool. Yeah, and, like, I remember my mom, she was like, you just come home and, like, sing about Jesus and stuff, and so I think just, like, stories like
that. It's not
like
a phase,
that,
Mom. It's not a phase.
I think just things like that where I can kind of, like, replay my brain.
I just remember something. So sorry to cut you off. This you should Chicago tell the story. Yeah, this is my favorite part. Okay. This is a really good story, guys.
I don't know if it is on my part. Like, it's definitely like a lapse of judgment. But
no, it's a I really like, good story.
Yeah, it's
how many
redeeming.
Lapse of judgments do we have where, like, God brings us back? And he rarely did. And this is such a crazy story. True. Okay. Take it away.
So this was 2018. I had graduated from Xavier as an undergrad the year before, and I had this grand plan that I was gonna basically move from Chicago. No, I was gonna go from Indianapolis, where I was living with my parents after school, to Chicago, and then I was gonna move to LA. And that was the dream.
Isn't that everybody's, like, every Midwest kid's like, I'm going to live in L.A. and I'm going to be a surfer.
Yeah. Everybody was like, I'm trying to get out of here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, in my mind, that was, like, my five-year plan. So I moved to Chicago basically temporarily. Mm-hmm. My brother lived there at the time. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get a job and I'm going to get an apartment. That's my goal for this month. So I was just living out of a suitcase with him, and he wasn't even there at the time. I was just living in his apartment by myself. And so I got a job. I got a bartending job. And then I was like, all right, great. I just need to get an apartment now. So I found this apartment. It was on the lake, like, beautiful view, like, super contemporary. And I was like, all right, I'm doing it. This is happening. And I even saw the apartment, which is the crazy part. I toured it. And then I signed my lease. My lapse of judgment, this was all happening on Craigslist, because at the time, you know, you didn't have, like, I don't even know how people do it nowadays. It's just, it seems a lot
definitely
more.
Definitely not Craigslist.
Definitely not
into
Craigslist.
The young little Gen Zers listening to this, do not Google Craigslist and
never.
Do not buy anything.
Don't buy a single thing on that website.
Meet up with no one.
Yeah, that's just how we had to do it at age 21, I guess.
We're old, we're seasoned, we've learned.
Yeah, millennials. I was on Craigslist finding this apartment, and I sign the lease, send it off to this random dude I've never met in my entire life. He was like, okay, you have to send your deposit with that. So I sent him the deposit, and I went back home to Indiana to gather all my stuff. And then I'm driving back. I'm like, okay, wow, like I can't believe this is happening. This is amazing. And so I get to the apartment with all of my stuff packed up in my car, and I go to the front desk, and I'm like, all right, like I'm here for my key. And she was like, I don't think we have anybody moving in today. And I was like, oh, weird. Like, I'm supposed to move in. Like, here's the text. I can show you it. And she just, like, got this look on her face of panic. And I was like, oh, no. I have a bad feeling about this. So she's like, all right, I need you to go to the Chicago Police Department right down the street and file a report because this is just one big scam. I was like, sick, awesome, like, that's awesome. So I just was, like, in shock. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm still a kid. I'm 21 and, like, have no idea how to handle these situations, especially in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I go to the police department, and I was like, I think I got scammed. I don't really know what's happening. I'm supposed to move in today. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, honey, like, I don't know if we're going to find the guy. Like, this happens all the time in Chicago. Mm. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I sent him, like, a full month, like, worth of rent. Like, what do I do? And they're like, I don't know. Like, we're going to try to find him. But, like, I just wouldn't, you know, count on it. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, that sucks. So I, like, called a friend in town, whatever, like, stayed with her a night and then just drove myself back home to Indiana. And then, I like called my bank, you know, reported a fraud, whatever. And then I just remember getting home and I was like, I don't know if this guy has like blocked my number yet, mm-hmm. but I just feel like I need to text him and say something. And so I just sent him a text and I was like, who promises somebody a home and then just takes it away like that? And
they said, no room in the inn. They said, no room in the inn.
Literally, and I was just, you know, watch this dream just fade away in front of my eyes. And,
you know, God was up in heaven, like, this girl.
He's like, I told you about Craigslist.
Oh, gosh.
But I don't know also why we always, whenever this is a side note, but whenever we're like giving God a voice, we just give him like this crazy like thug accent, and I love it.
And it's always a voice of disappointment. Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. Anyway.
So to continue the story onward, I get a text 2 weeks later from this guy, mm-hmm. and he basically just says, you know, I had a moment with Jesus and I'm sending your money back.
Mind blown. First time I heard that story, I was like, he has been all over your life, like, all along.
Yeah.
It's just so cool.
Yeah. And that was definitely, I would say, one of those pieces of just looking back, like, kind of replaying different mm-hmm. parts in your life and being like, wow, he was there. You know?
That guy could have gotten away, like, scot clean. He could have just taken the money and gone. But for him to not only, like, send the money back, but to tell you, like, I've had a moment with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
that's a miracle. Like, mm-hmm. people say miracles don't still happen, but, like, when people are set out to steal and kill and destroy, like, they're going to do that. And so, truly, only an encounter with God could change somebody's ways. And so, mm-hmm. I just think it's so cool. And what I want to say to kind of, like, wrap up the episode is, it can feel weird sometimes to talk about Jesus, like, and mm-hmm. Christians can make it weird, like, many times we do, because we lead with condemnation, we lead with, you know, just throwing scripture at them before they even see the value of scripture. And so why I really wanted to bring you on was to share, like, you never know the God seed that you've planted in someone else's life, mm-hmm. and the way that you make it not weird is by recognizing that you're just the planter, like, mm-hmm. you just plant the seed and you live your Jesus life. to the best of your ability. And it's literally God's job to water that seed. It's God's job to shine the light on that seed. It's the light of Christ that shines the light to grow, to then reap the harvest. We don't have that light in us. It's the light of Jesus shining through us. So yeah, how to not make it weird is like just recognize what your part is. And your part is literally just living by Jesus' name to the best of your ability. And loving people, like loving people well. And
that's gonna take some pressure off, right?
Yeah. It is not, that is not my job, as they say in Drake and Josh. But man, my sassy side comes out when I'm with you. People are gonna listen to this episode and be like, what happened to you?
I love it. I love it. Oh, also I brought a little show and tell.
Oh yeah.
Moment.
Okay. To those watching,
I'll let you tell the story.
We have to remember some people are watching on YouTube and some people are just listening. So for those who are really confused right now.
That's so 509 compliant of you.
Yeah, thank you. Nikita just held up her holy Bible. This was a Bible that I saw. Nikita really likes like lions. Her favorite color is navy. What? You do?
Well, I do. I just like animals a lot.
First time I came into your apartment, you had like a panther ceramic on your coffee table, and I was like, that's a choice.
that actually has a special story behind it, but yeah, go on.
Anyway, so I saw this Bible, and I'll hold it up for those watching on YouTube, and it just like screams her personality. It's majestic, it's cool, it kind of looks like a tattoo. And I felt God nudging me when I saw this Bible. He was like, I want you to buy that and give it to Nikita for her birthday. And I was like,
you said yes sir.
No, actually, I didn't. Oh. The first time I got that nudge, I was like, it was actually on Amazon. So I was like, oh, haha, wouldn't that be fun? You know, just kept scrolling. Like, it was easy to pass up. And then he just kept, like, digging that into my mind. Like, I told you to buy the Bible. I told you about, and your birthday was, like, a week away. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. So I bought the Bible. And I remember when I gave it to you, I was so nervous. And I remember I was like, hey, so, like, I just got you this Bible, and if you don't want to read it, that's okay. And I hope this isn't, like, offensive, but I just, like, God told me to get it for you. And so, happy birthday. Don't hate me. And so, here we are now, and it's your same Bible, and, like, look at what the Lord has done, you know? It's just, look at what he's done, guys.
I also remember when you said that, you were like, I hope you're not offended.
I
was like, I was worried. Like, why would I be offended
because like, hey, I know you're raised in this religion, but here's a new one.
Yeah, well, like, okay, now I see it.
Yeah, I was so nervous. I was like, God, this be very bold for a Wednesday or whatever. Well,
I will say, to be fair, I wasn't like, I know you mentioned like I was born into Hinduism, but there was definitely a period of time where between when I went off to college and I was on my own, where I was definitely just exploring openly with religion and spirituality as a whole. So I think you giving me this Bible actually wasn't that weird, but
that's a huge relief.
Yeah.
And we're still here. So clearly you weren't offended. So
yes.
Anyways, that's the story of Nikita's Bible. And I just want to thank you so much for coming on this podcast and for just your openness to share, because guys, this was a really big deal for Nak. She is kind of a private person. I think you've posted me on your Instagram all but two times in our, like, 4 years of friendship.
Instagram's a whole other story, but yeah, I just don't, it takes a lot for me to like open up to new people. So I think just our friendship has always encouraged me in that way.
Well, I'm really proud of you, and I really appreciate you. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Of course. And like, it wasn't that scary, was it?
No, and we didn't cry either of us.
Yeah, we didn't cry. We'll probably cry after this and be like, remember what you said. Anyways, thanks for tuning in to Christ in Me with Addie, guys, and I'll see you next time.